Screen Directors Playhouse stars Jeff Chandler, Mercedes McCambridge. Production, Only Yesterday. Guest director, Al Rogel.
This is the Screen Directors Playhouse, one of the weekly features on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by Chesterfield, always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking, plus no unpleasant aftertaste, and that's the biggest plus in cigarette history. By the makers of Anacin for fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia, and by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. Tonight, the Screen Directors Playhouse is pleased to present transcribed a story of war-torn lives. Only Yesterday, starring Jeff Chandler and Mercedes McCambridge. And now, here is Mercedes McCambridge.
When the world's at war and a girl is 19, there is an excitement and a romance that makes you forget the tragedy, at least while you're 19. A bright Virginia moonlight, the scent of night-blooming jasmine, the world becomes a wondrous place. I remember it so well. It seems as if it were only yesterday.
Thank you, Miss McCambridge. Before presenting the first act, a word for discriminating smokers.
You see it in the newspapers. No unpleasant aftertaste. You hear it on the radio. No unpleasant aftertaste. You see it on television. No unpleasant aftertaste when you smoke Chesterfields. It's the biggest plus in cigarette history. Science discovered it. You can prove it. Science discovered that of all brands tested, Chesterfield, and only Chesterfield, leaves no unpleasant aftertaste.
Prove it yourself. Smoke a pack of Chesterfields. They're always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking. And Chesterfield is the cigarette that leaves no unpleasant aftertaste.
That's the biggest plus in cigarette history.
No unpleasant aftertaste.
Science discovered it. Prove it yourself. Buy Chesterfields today.
Now the first act of Only Yesterday, starring Jeff Chandler as Jim Emerson and Mercedes McCambridge as Mary Lane. Tuesday, October 29th, 1929. Black Tuesday. When a lush-inflated world tumbled about its own ears like a house of cards. When world markets crashed almost in unison, and the reverberations carried poverty and death to all corners of the universe. Jim Emerson, vice president of the firm of Fairchild and Emerson Stockbrokers, has just walked in through the door of his luxurious New York apartment at the end of this cataclysmic day.
Hello?
Yes, this is Emerson. Oh, hello, Jerry. Yeah, I just walked in the door. No, I've tried every bank in town. Even if we had Liberty Bonds, they wouldn't take them. Can you hear me? Sure, I know there's a racket here. There generally is. My wife's having a cocktail party. Nice day for it, isn't it? All right, I'm sorry, Jerry, but it's the finish. We're cleaned off. Do? How do I know what I'm going to do? I'll talk to you later. Good night.
Mr. Emerson.
Well, hello, Talbot.
I didn't know you'd come in. Mrs. Emerson's been asking for you.
Why?
Well, you see, sir, it's a party.
Yeah, it's always a party, isn't it, Talbot? Look, come in the study. I want to talk to you. Sit down, would you?
Thank you.
Talbot, you've been with me for 10 years. You probably know more about me than anyone alive. I like you because you're efficient, you're quick, and you don't take advantage.
Thank you, sir.
I don't need to tell you what happened today. You know all about the market, don't you?
Yes. But I don't know how badly you've been hit.
Just like everybody else, I'm finished. I don't mind too much, but I want you to do something for me.
Of course.
Mrs. Emerson's rather well taken care of. There's insurance. Things you know more about than I do. You are too, Talbot. I want you to tell Mrs. Emerson to stay out of this study. Keep the party going.
What are you going to do?
You're the only one I can tell. You're calm, you're unemotional, efficient.
I don't think it's as bad as that.
It is, and frankly, I don't care what you think. You'll find full instructions in the hands of my attorney in case anything happens to me. Follow them.
I'd like to talk to you a bit about this.
Let's not be dramatic, Talbot. Looking at this thing quite dispassionately, it's very simple. I'm broke. Everyone I'm connected with would be all right if I were out of the way. It's as simple as that.
That may be. Maybe killing yourself with that gun is the simplest way. But there are some things you ought to know.
You mean about my wife and that parasite of hers, Scott Vernon?
No. I mean mostly something that came in the mail today. I opened it, as I do everything, but I'm sorry I did. I think you should read it.
Why? What difference does it make?
I'm not sure, Mr. Emerson, but here it is. Read it.
Jeff, are you home?
Yes, Phyllis, I'm home. Put the gun back in the drawer, will you? Come in.
You're coming in, aren't you?
If I must.
Well, lots of people here want to talk to you about the market. They say you're very bright and you'll know how to fix it.
I'm sure you disagreed with them, my dear.
Oh, don't be disagreeable, darling. Just because you've had a bad day.
Bad day? Yes, yes, it has been. I'm sorry, Phyllis, but why don't you run back and talk to Scott?
Are you so sure he's here?
He always is, isn't he?
Jim, didn't Daddy come with you? He told me he would.
No, he was tied up. He told me to tell you to see him at home. He was pretty tired.
Oh, he must be, the poor darling. He must be terribly worried. Well, I don't think I'll stay any longer, if you don't mind, Phil. I think Eddie needs me.
Of course, dear.
Look, my car's downstairs. I'll send you over in that.
Thank you, Jim. That's sweet of you. Well, see you tomorrow, Phil. Many thanks.
Goodbye, dear.
Bye. She's a nice woman. It's pretty awful, but Eddie doesn't need her. Not anymore.
What do you mean?
Eddie Vincent committed suicide this afternoon. Jumped out of a 22nd-story window.
Oh, how horrible.
It's only the beginning.
Jim, what about me? My stocks and my bonds, what about me?
You're broke.
What?
I'm broke. I don't know anybody who isn't. Now, you'd better all have a drink on that. It's about the only thing left to do.
Oh.
But now, you'll have to forgive me. I've got some work to do.
Jim!
Not now, Phyllis. I'll talk to you later.
How much later?
It's a fair question. All right, Talbot, I'll read the letter, but I want to be left alone, understand?
Yes, sir.
Good girl. So long, Talbot.
Goodbye, Mr. Emerson.
Now, let's see. My dear, I have so much to tell you and so little time in which to say it. You may have to think back 12 years to recall, if you can, the girl who met you first at a dance at the Virginia Country Club.
Sir?
Oh, I beg your pardon. Are you speaking to me?
Yes, sir. Are you Lieutenant James Stanton Emerson?
I'm Emerson.
I'm supposed to look after you. Shall we dance?
I think you said two things then. I think the idea of both appeals to me tremendously. I think I should like to know your name. Oh, I see. You're wearing it, Miss Amy Breckenridge.
I have a confession to make to you. That's not my name.
Well, you better not confess here. We better dance.
All right.
Time for confession.
My name is Mary Lane. I looked at the list and Amy Breckenridge was supposed to take care of you. But I traded her, my captain, for you.
Certainly showing that you have no proper respect for rank. Why did you?
Because I wanted to be with you.
To tell her that?
She thinks I know you. She thinks you and I know each other very well.
What gave her that idea?
I did.
What?
Oh, don't be angry.
I'm just surprised.
That isn't all either. I wore some flowers last week and I told all my friends that they came from you.
Well, I'll be a... How long has this been going on?
2 years.
Have I been sending you flowers for 2 years?
Oh, no, I mean it's 2 years since we met.
Look, let's get out of here. Let's go outside and go into this a little.
All right.
So we have met, then?
Yes.
Where?
At a party that Mrs. Abbott gave 2 years ago. I wasn't quite 17, so of course you didn't notice me. I gave you a sandwich.
Oh, that was nice of you.
Chicken sandwich.
Oh.
And then I've seen you since.
Where?
When you were campaigning for President Wilson. My aunt, who lives in New York, was staying with us. Her name is Julia, and she's a suffragette. You know, she thinks women ought to vote and everything. Well, I went with her, and you made a speech.
I did not.
Yes, you did, and it was a beautiful speech, too. I'll never forget the way you said, "We must re-elect President Wilson. He is the only man who can keep us out of war."
What a good guesser I was.
It wasn't just your saying it. It was the way you said it. You were so sincere. So handsome, too. I tried to buy a picture of you, but they only had President Wilson and Vice President Marshall.
Come here, Mary. You're sweet.
Oh.
Can't say because you haven't known me long enough. 2 years... 2 years is surely good for one little kiss. Especially such a little one.
Maybe we ought to go back.
You really want to?
No.
Let's walk. I've got to get as well acquainted with you as you are with me.
Oh, I see. Well, then let's begin. I'm 19, but I told you that. And I live in that house right off the second hall.
Oh, what a lovely old place.
It looks better at night.
I could ask you a lot of questions, but none of them would get us any place, so I'm going to ask you one real one. Are you engaged?
Oh, mercy, no. At 19?
Why not?
Well, to be sure. But I'm not.
That's good.
Are you?
No, sir. Just think of it. Beautiful old garden, Virginia moonlight, and us three.
Three.
Sure. You and me and Fate. Three of us walking in the garden. Give me a hand, Mary. I want to feel close to you.
Yes.
Eden was never like this.
Oh. I'll show you the lake. If you promise not to call it a pond, it's a lake to us. There it is. Isn't that lovely?
It's a perfect setting. Why don't you ask for what?
For what?
For this. I like you so much, I think I'm going to be in love with you in just a minute more.
Oh, don't lie to me.
I couldn't. My sweet, my little sweet, I couldn't.
Hold me. Hold me in your arms, Jim. It's 2 years. After all, I've loved you for 2 long years. We've got to get back, Jim.
I know. I'm not going to take you home yet.
Oh, but you must.
No, not yet.
Don't spoil it, Jim. You've been an ideal for too long. I can't let you spoil it.
No, I'm not going to spoil it. I'm going to marry you if you'll have me. Tonight.
You're going to marry me?
That's what I said. We can drive across the state line and be married right away. Are you willing, Mary, to be a soldier's wife?
Your wife? I've always wanted to be your wife, Jim, no matter what you are or what you do. But are you sure? Are you sure that you really do? You do love me?
I do.
Go with you, Jim. I love you, my husband.
When we asked you to try Anacin for the relief of pain due to a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, we're not asking you to try a new or unproved method. For there are many people listening in now who have been introduced to Anacin tablets by their own dentist or physician. You who have received Anacin this way know the effective, incredibly fast relief these tablets bring. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. People by the thousands are using modern Anacin today instead of other ways. Doesn't their experience seem worth following? Try Anacin the next time you suffer pains from headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. You'll be delighted with the results. Ask your druggist for Anacin today. Anacin is spelled A-N-A-C-I-N. Now, Act Two of Only Yesterday, starring Mercedes McCambridge and Jeff Chandler.
We were married that night. And just before dawn, I left Jim, and I tiptoed fearfully past my mother and my father's door. We decided not to tell anybody, and I was glad. I was afraid to tell my family. Because I knew they wouldn't understand anything so impulsive. They were sure that I was still just a child. And I knew I couldn't see Jim until the following Saturday. And that seemed like an eternity. A week can, you know. Days drag by. I didn't even go out of the house. And we were at breakfast on Thursday.
Yeah, another advance of the Argonne. The lions will tie them out first, then wipe them out when they're ready.
Well, you're lucky, Dad.
Lucky? Why?
That I'm not a boy. At least you don't have to send the son.
I'd be proud to have a son in this crap. They're going to come out of this a finer nation, purged by fire.
I'm glad you think so. Seems to me there ought to be a better way than this to make the world a decent place to live in.
Why, Mary, what's turned you into a pacifist all of a sudden? Hope it wasn't that lieutenant you met. What was his name?
Lieutenant James Stanton Emerson, 309th Infantry. Tall, handsome, and charming.
When shall I have the pleasure of seeing this paragon of yours?
Next time he has leave, which will be on Saturday. And I give you just 5 minutes to get to know him.
Now, I consider that mighty generous.
Well, it is. That's all the time you're going to get. Because I'll need all the rest. Oh, I got it. Oh, hi, Debbie. What? No, I haven't heard anything. What news? What? Are you sure? Thanks, Debbie. Goodbye.
What is it, Mary?
I'm afraid you can't even have the 5 minutes now, Dad. The 309th Infantry left for overseas. An hour ago. Keep my secret from everybody. And it wasn't too hard to do because I was so unhappy I didn't want to talk to anybody. But one day I went to see our doctor. And when I came out, I knew I couldn't have secrets any longer. I was going to have a baby.
This is the first time anything has ever happened in our family to make us feel ashamed.
Well, Dad, you've got to stop saying that. We're married. And I can prove it to you. Why don't you believe me?
Well, I believe you, Mary. But I'm afraid no one else will. This is a small town. The people
here... Oh, the devil with the people here. And you're right. It is a small town, and I'm not going to stay here and shame you and Mother. I'm getting out.
I wish I could tell you not to do that, Mary. But I think it's best, too. I've written your Aunt Judith. Everything will be easier in New York.
Well, I just want it to be easier for you, that's all. Because I'll be all right. I've always been very fond of Aunt Julia. We'll have a great time together. I'm going to be all right.
You're going to be all right, Mary. Take a look around. This is what we call home in New York.
It's lovely.
Oh, it isn't. It's a typical New York apartment. But make no mistake, my honey. Air shafts and elevators notwithstanding, New York is the place to live. It's in the air. It's electric. It's something... Anyhow, you're going to like it. You hear me? You're going to like it.
Don't beat me. I like it already.
Atta girl. Here, give me your hat.
Thanks.
Oh, what pretty hair, Mary. I just can't wait to see it bobbed.
Me? Cut my hair?
Child, women have cut more than their hair. That's a kind of a symbol. They've cut a lot of the old silly nonsense. They can get and hold good jobs. They aren't dependents anymore.
Oh, I know you're not, but I guess I still am.
Nonsense. After you've had the baby, I'm going to put you to work. I want you to know the feeling of satisfaction that a little success can give you.
I want just one thing in the whole world.
Oh, I know, dear. Especially now.
Especially always. I just want to know that Jim will come back to me. Alive.
Well, when he does, he's going to see the most attractive young mother in New York. Until the man says the stork's ready, I'm going to work on you. Come on, let's not sit around here moping. We got shopping to do.
You can come in now, Mrs. Warren.
Wait a minute. You sure it's a boy?
Oh, you bet it's a boy.
Good. Those are a darn nuisance.
Hello.
Hello, honey.
Well, what's going on outside? It sounds like a celebration.
It is, dear. It's a big one.
Oh, I didn't know my baby's birthday was that important.
You hit on a great day for it. You know that? Now listen while I say it slow. The armistice has just been signed.
Oh,
really signed. People are crazy with the news. The war is over, Mary.
Over. It's over. Now his father will get back.
Yes.
Oh, how long do you think it'll be before he can come back to me and to us?
Oh, a month or two or three.
Oh, yes, I'll need that long. I want to be perfect for him. I want to make myself everything he's ever wanted. Oh, I'll need all of that time, Julia. I've got so much to do. So much to do. From that moment on, the days just weren't long enough. I was making life ready for my man. And then great troop ships began coming in almost every day. Parades of boys coming home marched endlessly up Fifth Avenue, and I never missed one, looking at every face. Until that day I saw Jim. I called out to him. He didn't hear me, so I followed the parade uptown. And when it broke up, I ran toward him as fast as I could run.
Come on! Come here. I wasn't sure what we were fighting for, but now I know.
Are you sure?
How much time have you got?
All you need.
And I'll make sure. And who's that over there? Oh, tell me it's Phyllis Convert.
Hello, Jim. I didn't think
you'd recognize me. Thank you, Phyllis. I've got so much to say to you, I don't know whether either of us will find the time. What?
Jennifer. Emerson.
Oh, my dear.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm perfect. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine, thank you.
Where are you living?
Here.
That's great. Give me your number, huh? We've got to get together sometime.
Yes, that's right. We'll have to sometime.
Come on, Jim! Here's the car!
Okay, coming.
Goodbye, Jim. Goodbye, Jim.
What's the matter with her? She's real pretty, too. I wonder who the devil she is.
Mary, what is it? What happened? Did you...
Yes. I saw him.
And?
He didn't know me.
Didn't know you?
No. There I was packed in with a group of his friends.
And he shook hands with me, and he spoke to me. And he didn't know who I was.
Well, he only saw you once.
Once, yes, I guess it was for him. It was a lifetime for me.
Oh, but darling, a lot of things have happened since then. He's been to France and the war. And don't forget, you've changed too. Your hair is bobbed, your clothes are different. You do look like another girl.
If he were changed in a thousand ways, I'd still know him.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. But there's one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to tell him who I am. Or let him know that he has a son. I can't do that. Imagine going up to a man who doesn't even recognize you and telling him that he's the father of your child. Well, he could deny it. He could say it wasn't true. I couldn't bear that. No, I'll just go along as I am. Or as we are. And then maybe someday he'll remember me.
Oh, I think this is wrong, Mary. How would he know where to find her?
He knew where I lived. He could find me if he wanted to. And Julia?
Yes?
Do you still want me to come and work in the shop?
Well, I certainly do.
It's because I want to. I want to go to work. I didn't think I would, but now I do. I've got a lot of things to think about now. Now that there's only one man in my life, and he's pretty young. I've got to go to work, Julia. Until my man can work for me. Work does a lot of things. Not only the things it says in copybooks, mainly it makes you tired, and sleep becomes a blessed thing. My whole life became so full of work and little Jim that I could hardly believe the hurt in my heart wouldn't heal. And yet, the more I filled my hours, the more I thought about him. I knew that I had to see him. But I couldn't go to him as his wife. He had made that impossible. And so, as quietly as I could, I had our marriage annulled. Then one night, just before dinner, I started for the door.
Where are you going, dear? Dinner's just ready.
Julia, I'm going to see Jim. I can't stand this any longer. I'm going to see him, and I'm going to tell him who I am.
Well, what's caused the sudden change?
No, there's been no change. I've just fought it off since that very first day, but I'm sick of fighting it now. I want to see him.
I know you do.
Do you know where I was this afternoon? I was out in front of his office waiting for him to come out, hoping that he'd see me and remember. And that wasn't the first time either. There hasn't been one day since he came back that I haven't stood outside his office or near his house waiting for him to see me, to recognize me. But I've been too proud to go to him and tell him who I am. Well, now I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm going to him, and I'm going to tell him that I love him and tell him that I can't go on without him.
Sit down, Mary. I want to talk
to you. No, it's no use, Julia. I won't say I've thought this thing out because I haven't, but it's filled my mind for so long that I can't do anything else. I've just got to do it.
There's something you have to know first.
Oh, I know. There are millions of things I should know first, all of which will make good sense, all of which will prove that I shouldn't go to him. I don't want to hear those things.
I didn't want to show you this, Mary. It's from today's paper.
What? Mr. and Mrs. James Stanton Emerson, who were married on Wednesday last, sailed on them. Well, that's that. The end of another chapter of my life.
Oh, you poor child.
No, don't. I'm all right, Julia. I'm just the girl that no husband ever remembers. Nice of the newspapers to save me the embarrassment of calling on the newlyweds at the beginning of their honeymoon. That wouldn't have been polite, would it? That wouldn't have been good manners, would it? I'm very happy I didn't do it. Very happy. In fact, I've never been so happy in my whole life.
In a moment, the third act of Only Yesterday. But first, here's a word from RCA Victor. It's going right to the top. Eddie Fisher's standout new RCA Victor release, I'll Hold You in My Heart is another in his meteoric series of smash hits. Again, Eddie Fisher has found a perfect showcase for his smooth, flowing voice in this beautiful love song, I'll Hold You in My Heart. It's available now at your favorite record dealers. Stop in and ask for Eddie Fisher's exciting new release, I'll Hold You in My Heart. Superbly arranged and with a soft melodic backing by Hugo Winterhalter's orchestra. And listen to the flip side. You'll find it's another fine Eddie Fisher plus. I Heard a Song. You'll hear a song as only America's favorite young baritone can sing it. The sensational Eddie Fisher. Tomorrow, be sure to buy RCA Victor's great new recording of Eddie Fisher singing I'll Hold You in My Heart. You are listening to the Screen Directors Playhouse, one of the weekly features on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by Chesterfield, always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. And that's the biggest plus in cigarette history. By the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia, and by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. Screen Directors Playhouse, starring Jeff Chandler and Mercedes McCambridge, will continue after a brief pause for station identification. We continue the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of Only Yesterday, starring Jeff Chandler as Jim Emerson and Mercedes McCambridge as Mary Lane.
When you're working to forget something, I guess you work harder than anybody else. And it paid off for me in success. Didn't seem to do anything about making me forget. Little Jim, his 10th birthday was a major celebration. He was more like his father every day. The day before New Year's, the last day of 1928, I worked pretty late, and young Jim had come down to shop, and he met me in a cab. It was a sort of pre-New Year's treat. Was I long, Jim?
I was reading.
In this light? Oh. Now, let's see. You've got, how many more days left of your holiday?
Only three more, not counting today. Mother, why don't you take a vacation week and do all these things together?
Darling, you mean you'd like to do these things better with me?
Oh, well. Well, sure I would. Wouldn't any fella?
No, sir. No, I don't think many fellas would.
Sure they would.
All right. Then I can take a vacation, and I'll begin tomorrow morning.
That's a holiday anyway.
You're right. I guess that's kind of cheating, isn't it? Well, to make up for that, and incidentally, for being just about the greatest guy in the whole world, you can go to Spalding's and you can pick out any present you want.
Spalding's? Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Anything?
Well, no racing yawls or no polo ponies, and if you don't mind, no loaded revolvers. But anything else.
Gee, Mother, you're the nuts.
From the top of the tree, I thank you, sir. Ah, this should start a very happy new year. From Mary to Jim. With love. Happy New Year, Jimmy.
Happy New Year, Mom.
Going home, Talbot. Very happy New Year.
Same to you, Mr. Emerson. Oh, here's a wire just came for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'll be.
Anything wrong?
No, another of my mysterious New Year messages. Listen to this. Sincerest wishes for a happy and prosperous year to come from one who does not forget. Every single year, that same message has come. Can you beat it?
Haven't you any idea at all who it is?
No, not the faintest. First one came the year I was married. I thought it was from my wife because it never signed, but it wasn't. I'd give a lot to know who they are from. One who does not forget.
You have given a lot, haven't you, Mr. Emerson?
What do you mean?
Well, I do take care of your bills, you know, and I can't help but know after 10 years...
I know. Get to the point.
I'm talking about your doctor's bills, your neurologist.
I'm not neurotic, Talbot. Those bills are for a specific complaint.
I should mind my own business.
Oh, it feels good to talk about it. I guess I've always kept it to myself. As long as you pay the bills, you might as well know why. I'm trying to find out a great many things that happened to me, Talbot, quite a few years ago.
Where were you?
Oh, that's one of them. I'm not too sure. Seems there was quite a disturbance one night in the Argonne Forest. Maybe a tree fell on me, I don't know. Whatever it was, it sent me to the hospital in France. They said it was a minor concussion, but it took me days to remember my name.
Amnesia?
No, not really. A not too bad attack of shell shock, I guess. A couple of weeks, I was as good as new. Except that there were big blank spots behind me.
Are there still blank spots after all these years?
Yeah, that's the thing that drives me crazy. I don't know. It seems to me that I've been able to piece my whole life together without a break. And then a telegram comes along like this one, which keeps coming year after year. All I can think of is that there must still be a blank somewhere, and in it, someone, someplace, whom I may have hurt very badly.
I can't believe that your doctor agrees with your theory.
No, he doesn't. But he can't explain these wires either, so up to now, my theory looks as good as his.
Oh, but it'll wear you down, Mr. Emerson. It's not good for you. It's like living with a memory that isn't there. Can't you forget it?
I wish I could. Well, thank you for listening to me, Talbot. Did me good. Maybe if I talked about it a little more, I could forget it.
I'll listen anytime you need me. Happy New Year, Mr. Emerson.
Very happy New Year to you, Talbot. Good night.
Good night.
From one who does not forget.
Well, it's time you got home. Don't you know this is New Year's Eve?
Sure I do, but somebody has to do your work while you're putting on diamonds and orchids for a party.
We're going to be late.
Oh, Jimmy?
Yes, Mother?
Tell Aunt Julia what the doctor said about you.
Yeah, he says I can play all the football I want. He says my heart is perfect.
That's great, Jimmy. Now you can go out and get killed by doctor's orders.
Oh, I'm so relieved. His test was absolutely perfect. I'll run and dress, and I'll be down in a minute.
Aunt Julia?
Huh?
The doctor says something funny to me.
Did he dear? What?
Well, he said it wasn't me needed to be careful. It was Mother.
Yeah, I know. We've got to keep her from working so hard.
She isn't sick, is she?
No, Jimmy. She's just tired out. She needs a vacation.
She's going to take one beginning tomorrow.
But tomorrow's a holiday.
That's what I said.
But you're right. She is going to take one if I'm big enough to knock her down on a fourth or two.
Who are you going out with tonight?
The regulars.
Say.
What?
Do you think Mother's going to marry Mr. Reynolds?
Mary?
In a minute.
No, now. If you're decent, come on down.
Why? What's the big hurry?
Your son is asking embarrassing questions that I can't answer.
Oh, what questions?
Well, nothing embarrassing. I just asked Aunt Julia if you were going to marry Mr. Reynolds.
I will be back after the third degree is over.
Oh, Jimmy, what a question. He hasn't even asked me.
Oh, get out.
Oh, I mean it.
Well, why don't you ask him?
Jimmy, ladies don't ask gentlemen to marry him.
Oh. Oh, well, I can fix that. How'd you like me to ask him for you?
Oh, what an awful idea.
Well, I don't mind. I'll just go and say to him, Now, look here, Mr. Reynolds. I want to know if
you dare do a thing like that.
All right, don't get excited. I won't if you don't want me to.
Well, you better not. And now I'm on my way, darling, and we'll be at the St. Regis, and I'll call you up at just 12 o'clock to wish you a happy New Year. You wait for the whistle, huh?
All right. And if you have any interesting news about Mr. Reynolds...
Hey, now, Jimmy, I warned you.
All right. Happy New Year, Mother.
Good night, dear.
Good night.
Mary?
Oh, sorry, Julia. Did you say something to me?
No, but David did until he gave up. What are you staring at?
Oh, I wasn't staring. I was just looking at the people. It's very gay, isn't it?
It was. What is the matter with you?
Nothing, darling, really. I'm all right. I think I'll go outside for just a minute. I'll be right back.
Well, I'm...
Good evening.
Hello.
I've been trying to send you a note for hours.
A note?
Yes. I've been looking straight at you ever since you came in. Didn't you see me?
Yes, I saw you. I was looking at you, too.
That's wonderful. I'm getting out of my party. I haven't been able to stand anyone there since I first laid eyes on you. Shall we go?
Yes. Let's go.
Taxi? Sharonov, 68th Street. There. Not as cozy as an ocean liner, but better than that mob back there.
Yes.
Yeah, we met before.
You say haven't?
Look, when a man makes that opening lead, it isn't playing the game to pin him down like that, you know.
Oh, is this a game?
No. Let's not call it that ugly word, game. I don't like it either. No, it doesn't belong with you. You know, when I saw you tonight for just a moment, I did think I knew you. But that isn't possible, is it?
Why not? People have been known to forget other people.
Yeah. No, I couldn't have forgotten anyone as lovely as you are. Anyway, after you looked at me, it didn't matter whether I knew you or not. I don't have to tell you how attractive you are.
You don't have to, huh? But I wouldn't object.
Well, you are terribly.
Coming from such an excellent judge as James Stanton Emerson, prominent financier and sportsman.
Well, you're clever, too. Here we are.
What kind of place is this?
Oh, it's very nice. You can have a drink and go places if you'd like to go places. Lights.
Oh, but this is charming. Some friend of yours live here?
No, it's mine.
Oh, but this isn't where you live.
Of course it is. What made you say that?
I never saw a place so completely lacking the feminine touch.
Oh. Well, this happens to be the place where I live. The other place is where I sleep, breakfast, and get my mail.
That sounds bitter.
Maybe, but it works out.
Yes, I know.
Never mind me. Let's you and I have a drink to hurry the year along, shall we?
Thank you.
There it is. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Oh, dear.
What is it?
May I use your telephone?
Oh, certainly, right there on the desk. You want me to go somewhere while you talk?
Oh, no.
I warn you, I'll listen.
You can hear what I have to say. Sacramento 76822, please. I don't think you'll be able to hear anyhow with all that noise.
Maybe a window's open. I'll see.
Hello, is that you, dear? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year yourself. Say, anything happen tonight?
Anything happen?
Yeah, you know what I mean, all right. Anything happen?
Oh, no. No, darling. Good night.
Good night.
Well, sounded quite intimate. Is it a man?
Do you really want to know?
Nope. Oh, we'll finish our drink to 1929 before it's in entirely. I want to know how you happen to know so much about me.
You're a public figure. You're in the papers.
You?
Me? Well, I'm not.
All right, leave it all to guessing. Leave me in the dark about you. I'm not afraid of the dark. Are you?
I'm not afraid much of anywhere.
Who would have thought that usual hilarious New Year's Eve I've looked forward to with so much boredom? Who would have thought it was to be like this? Because this is, I give you my word, this is the most delightful, surprising, enchanting...
Oh, don't go any further. No evening could live up to all those words.
You're a dream. You're completely adorable. You're the most delightful...
Stop. Tell me, what's that picture?
That's my company. I was in the war. Yeah, I helped save whatever it was we saved. That was taken just before we left our training camp. See, there I am, and don't laugh.
I'm not.
No, you're not either. Look at me.
No.
I said, look at me. I want you to come close to me. I want to look deep into your eyes.
Oh. Jim.
Darling. Darling, what can I call you? What is your name?
The doctor says you seem better, Mary.
No. You know better than that, Julia. Is there any word from Jimmy?
Yes, he's on his way here. He left school at 8 o'clock this morning. They're bringing him in just as fast as they can.
Julia.
Yes, dear?
There's a letter in this drawer. I just finished it today. It's a big, thick letter.
Oh, yes. Here it is.
It's addressed. Will you see that it's sent as soon as I'm gone? Will you?
Of course, dear. Oh, I'm sure that's Jimmy. I'll get him.
Yes, hurry, Julia.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hello, Aunt Julia.
They told you, Jimmy, how it is. Mother's sick, dear. She wants to see you. You see, dear, she's really very, very sick.
Mother's going to die.
Well, go on in, Jimmy. Talk to her.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, my, how big you are. In a minute, you're going to be a man. Jimmy. Dear, there are things, hard things that we all have to face in life. And after all, they aren't so bad as some people make them out, some cowardly people. To be sick and even to die isn't so terrible, really. It just means that we get along without each other for a little while longer than when we go away to school or for things like that. And now, Jimmy, I've got to go away for quite a long time. And I want you to, I want you to be as good a boy when you're big as you have been when you were little. And that's all, Jimmy. I just wanted to tell you.
What is it?
Let me in.
I'm working.
I sent for you. I expect you to answer when I send for you.
I did answer. I said I was working.
Well, let me in. I want to talk to you.
Where's Scott?
He's right here with me.
I thought so. We'll talk to him. I'll be out in a few minutes.
It's urgent.
I know. All right, wait a minute. Come in, Phyllis, but we'll talk alone. Scott, you wait.
I've never heard anything so inexcusably rude in my whole life.
Oh, it can get worse. I want to get something straightened out with you, Phyllis, and I imagine it's the same thing you wanted to talk about. I'm broke. You understand? No money. I've given you a lot, and I suspect you've given your friend, Mr. Scott Vernon, a lot. Well, you're welcome to it, and to him. See that gun on the desk over there? I took it out to use on myself, and I don't care how melodramatic that sounds. Luckily, I read my mail first. I got a letter which has given me for the first time since I got out of uniform a destination, a place to go. And, Phyllis, I'm going there, alone.
I'm very glad you made that speech, Jim. It certainly saved me a lot of words.
And it probably saved Scott a punch in the nose. You don't have to keep your romance a secret any longer, darling. It's yours for keeps.
It's going to be expensive if you walk out on me.
How often have you tried getting blood out of a turnip? Talbot!
Yes, sir?
Give me my car right away.
Yes,
Julia? Julia?
Mary.
Oh.
Is Jim another?
What a funny word for you, Jim. Remember.
I know.
Do you?
Yes, my dear, I do. The first time.
Did I really mean so little?
No, you meant more to me than anything else in the world. Something happened to me a long time ago in the Argonne Woods. It made blanks in my life. I tried to fill them. I've spent years at it. Always has been the feeling that the biggest one, the most important one, stayed just out of my reach. Today, when your letter came...
My letter came?
Yes. I know you didn't want me to have it until later.
No. No, I didn't.
I have your Aunt Julia to thank, Mary, for disobeying.
She shouldn't have.
Maybe not.
Jim.
Yes, my darling.
Say that again.
What?
What you just said.
My darling.
It's nice. It sounds nice.
Oh, my darling.
I knew I'd missed it, but I didn't know how much. Do you remember? Do you remember now? What you said to me one night in a bright Virginia moonlight.
I remember everything I said to you.
Something you said about the three of us?
Yes, yes, I do.
Tell me.
I said, just think of it, a beautiful old garden, Virginia moonlight, and us three.
What did I say?
You said three.
And then what did you say?
I said, yes, you and me and fate. Three of us walking in the garden.
There are three of us, Jim. For a little while, anyway. Would you like to see him?
He's my son, Mary.
He looks like you.
I want to spend the rest of my life making friends with him.
It won't take you that long.
Where is he?
He'll be here in a minute. He doesn't know anything about you, Jimmy. It might be quite a shock for him to there. There he is. Let him in, Jim. Will you?
Yes. Oh. Hi.
Hi.
Jimmy. Come. Sit on the bed.
Okay.
It's a good-looking uniform, Jimmy. Did you win all those medals?
Yes, sir.
What for?
Oh, different things. Scholarship, swimming, and tennis.
Why, I'd like to see you beat me at tennis.
Well, I don't know. You got a big reach on me.
Yeah, I guess I have.
I got a medal for the rifle range, too.
Really? Good shot, huh? You like hunting?
You mean really hunting?
Yes, Jimmy, really. He means big game, if you want to.
Like lions and tigers?
Oh, well, that's a little ambitious for me. Would you like to go hunting with me?
You mean now? Well, gee, mister. Hey, I don't know your name.
Would it be too difficult to call me Dad?
Dad?
Jimmy?
Yes, Mother?
Darling, many years ago, there were two very young people who met a stranger. He was called Fate. And the two young people fell deeply in love. But there was a war in the world, and it's taken them many long years to find each other again. They didn't find each other until today. I was one of them, Jimmy. And the other was Mr. Emerson here. His name is Jim, too. Jimmy, this is your father.
My father?
It's about time we began to get acquainted. A lot of things to do. All right with you, Jimmy?
Well, sure.
It is about time, just about. You two can have great times together. Do everything, all the fun that you can. And all the time you'll know that somewhere I'll be watching you and I'll be with you. And loving every minute of it.
you will know that. Won't you, Jim?
Darling.
Jimmy?
Yes, Mom. I'll remember.
Yes, that's it, Jimmy. Always remember. That's very... very important.
Mother.
Come on, Jimmy. You and I are going.
Together?
Together. From now on.
Our stars will return in just a moment. Next week, we will present for the first time on the air one of the most human stories of our time, The Fugitive. And our star will be Henry Fonda. And now here are Jeff Chandler and Mercedes McCambridge.
Oh, nice job, Mercedes.
Thank you, Jeff. I enjoyed playing that girl.
You know, I remember seeing the pictures. A real heartbreaker and beautifully directed.
And that should be said more often. Too many people in the audience don't realize the contribution of the director to a fine picture.
Well, say, that's as good an entrance line for me as I've ever heard, Mercedes.
Hi, Al.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of Screen Directors Incorporated, Mr. Al Rogel.
Thank you.
Al, exactly what is Screen Directors Incorporated? Is it a part of the Screen Directors Guild?
No, it's a separate corporation designed and built to organize and coordinate this series of radio programs. It was felt by all of our guild members that the director was an anonymous contributor to the art of picture making, and our organization and this show, with the help of you two and all the other fine artists in our business, brings to the director a recognition which he quite normally wants and quite normally appreciates.
And should have, incidentally. I'll never forget the encouragement and the patience and solid knowledge of my first director.
It's that wonderful thing called perspective.
Well, sure. A good director lends that impartial eye and ear to a story. He stands apart, not affected by the personal feeling for one part or another.
And he keeps the entire picture in front of him, makes it flow in a steady continuity.
Hey, hold it. Hey, you know, I'm going to take you two on tour. That's the best sales talk I've heard in years. Doesn't leave anything for me to say except that your show tonight was great, and you have the gratitude of all of us and the Screen Directors Guild. Thank you, and good night.
Good night, Al. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Yesterday was presented through the courtesy of Universal International Pictures, soon to release Francis Goes to the Races, starring Donald O'Connor and Francis the Talking Mule. Jeff Chandler may now be seen in The Iron Man, a Universal International production co-starring Evelyn Keyes. Mercedes McCambridge may soon be seen starring in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production Inside Straight. Included in tonight's cast were Margaret McDonald, Joel Nessler, Lynn Allen, Eleanor Audley, Janet Nolan, and Herbert Butterfield. Only Yesterday was adapted for radio by Nat Wolf. Screen Directors Playhouse is under the supervision of Howard Wiley and is directed by Bill Karn. Portions of tonight's broadcast were transcribed. This is Jimmy Wallington speaking and inviting you to listen next week when the Screen Directors Playhouse presents The Fugitive, starring Henry Fonda. Listen again next week to Screen Directors Playhouse, one of the weekly features on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama.
The Man Called X brings mystery excitement tomorrow on NBC.